Look at this. My so-called windproof umbrella. Would have fared just as well with one of those little paper ones they put in Polynesian drinks.
Oh, I got a big collection of those. They remind me of wonderful evenings that I can't remember. You know, I've got some requests here for some personal appearances. City College wants you to lecture.
Fine, just tell me the date.
Okay. St. Bartholomew's Hospital wants you to MC their annual benefit.
Pass.
What, you're turning down a hospital?
Yes. Don't look at me that way.
Hey, I'm with you. I hate the way those whiny, sick people are always nagging you for things. I want a magazine. I want a kidney.
Roz, I have as much sympathy for sick people as you do, which is why I said yes when they asked me to appear last year. I bought an Armani tuxedo, spent a week working on my speech, postponed a trip to go see Frederick. Then on the morning of the dinner, they called me, told me they didn't need me because their first choice had become available. The irrepressible Kathy Lee Gifford.
God, way to hold a grudge.
Look, this is not about spite. This is about dignity. Dignity is a rare and fragile thing. Any other requests?
Yeah, the Miss Teenage Seattle pageant wants you to be a judge.
Oh, I'll do that.
That's real dignified.
A scholarship is involved.
All right, you're on in 10 seconds. Look, we have new sponsors, and the sales department wants you to work this copy in as often as you can.
Good afternoon, Seattle. This is Dr. Fraser Crane, KACL 780. Well, it's another gray, depressing day here in the Emerald City. Here's hoping we can brighten up your afternoon. We hold it our personal duty to banish your rainy day blues. But first, a message from a new sponsor. Death is inevitable. But it's especially painful when it claims a beloved family pet. If you've lost, or are planning to lose, a cherished dog, cat, or bird, let Pet Paradise console you with a tasteful plexiglass memorial bearing the likeness of your departed friend. Pet Paradise. Though your pet may be small, your loss is great. Who's our first caller, Russ?
We have Edna on line two. She's a receptionist at a pest control company, and she's feeling depressed.
Hello, Edna. I'm listening.
Hello, Dr. Crane. I've been working in pest control for 15 years. I go in every day, answer the same calls, ask the same questions. What kind of bugs are they? Have you seen any droppings? Then I go to the next person. What kind of bugs are they? Have you seen
Edna,
any droppings?
I'm a psychiatrist. I can sense where this is going. You know, even the most interesting of lives can become routine. What you need to do is shake up your world. Find a new boyfriend, a new job, a new city even.
You mean move?
Well, certainly there are a lot easier places to cheer up than this dreary, soggy old city of ours.
You know some, Dr. Crane, you're right. I don't have to stay here. When you think about it, there's a whole world of vermin out there.
Very eloquently put, Edna. Thank you for your call. Speaking of vermin, when that special rat of yours turns its little toes up for the last time, don't forget your friends at Pet Paradise. Pet Paradise. When a shoebox isn't enough. Another radiant morning. What do you think, Dad? Did I drive to work today or just hail a passing gondola?
I like the rain. Chases those squeegee guys off the street.
Now, stay put until I can dry off your feet.
There, that ought to do it.
Oh, Daphne, get that hat off him. Isn't it bad enough we had him neutered?
Look, the way things are going, I don't think I'm going to have children. Just let me dress up the dog.
I've never seen a dog look that stupid.
You'll change your tune when you see the outfit I got him for St. Patrick's Day.
Hey, get a load of this. Derek Mann mentioned in his column, I've been listening to Fraser Crane this week because I've been trying to drop a few pounds and find that his voice makes an effective appetite suppressant.
How witty.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Yesterday, I heard him advise an unhappy young woman that she could magically cure her depression simply by leaving Seattle. I know it would cure my depression if the Seattle-hating Dr. Crane would take his own advice and leave town as soon as possible. Well, it's just ludicrous. I never said any such thing.
Oh, yes, you did. I heard you. You said Seattle was dreary, and if she wanted to spruce up her life, she should leave town.
Well, that was just one of several suggestions I made. He took it completely out of context.
Well, whatever you said, you're going to apologize, right?
What for?
For insulting Seattle. People around here take a lot of pride in this town. They don't appreciate some radio know-it-all telling them it's rainy and depressing.
In case you haven't noticed, Dad, it does get a little damp around here. For God's sake, the state flower is mildew.
Let me tell you something. A city's like a woman. You get one mad at you, it doesn't matter if you're completely right and she's completely wrong, you apologize anyway or you'd be paying for it for the rest of your life.
I'm not sure I care for that analogy.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Daphne. I was way out of line.
All right, you're forgiven.
You know, Dad, to you, everything is like a woman. A fast car is like a woman. A romantic song is like a woman. Good meatloaf is like a woman. Well, a city is not like a woman. It's like a city. And I am not apologizing to this one. Even if you don't understand that, Seattle does. And Seattle loves Fraser Crane.
Hello, Father Mike.
Hello, Fraser.
Dr. Crane was not bashing Seattle. He was sincerely trying to help that woman. Who's our sponsor? Pet Paradise. Well, fine. Go ahead and boycott them. See how easy it is to flush your dead German shepherd down the toilet.
No, tell me, was that a complaint about this rain business?
Yes, and thanks to you, I've been on the phone all morning.
Oh, well, forgive me. From now on, I'll stick to subjects like suicide and birth control. Stay away from the controversial stuff like weather.
Hello.
Hey, Doc. I need some advice. I feel a cold coming on, and I'm wondering, should I take vitamin C or should I just leave Seattle?
Hope you're happy. According to Betsy at the switchboard, we've logged over 50 irate calls.
50? Damn, you broke my record. The most I ever got was 35 when I did that commentary. Lady umpires, finally a chest worth protecting.
You know, Fraser, you really should think about apologizing.
You know what? I'd be the first to apologize if I said anything wrong, but I didn't.
I've got half a dozen calls stacked up in there, and they all say you did.
Yes, well, just take messages from all those people. I don't want to talk to them.
You know, I don't know how to break this to you, but it's a call-in show!
I don't know how you can say Seattle's a depressing place. I mean, I've spent the last 40 years in this city working the graveyard shift at a salmon cannery. And let me tell you something, you fat-headed moron. I'm probably the most cheerful person you'll ever meet.
Certainly the most cheerful person I've met today. Alas, we're out of time. I'd like to just say, as I've been saying for the last 3 hours, that it was not my intent to cause anyone offense. But since it seems obvious that I have, I would like to say this. I apologize. I do not find Seattle a depressing place to live. It would take more than clouds to obscure the beauty of her landscape and more than drizzle to dampen the warmth and good fellowship that makes Seattle the only place in this bad old world that I care to call home. Till Monday, then. This is Dr. Fraser Crane, signing off.
Good grief! Have you ever in your life heard such a bunch of whiny provincial crybabies? I swear to God, this entire city has lost its tiny rain-addled mind!
Dr. Crane, we're still on the air.
Thank you, Roz.
Now we're off.
I believe this goes here, and that attaches there.
Dr. Crane, are you sure you don't want me to try my hand there?
No, no, Daphne, this is no job for you. You might crack a nail or snag a cuticle.
There. Are we getting anything?
Does a noid count?
Oh, hush. If you hadn't bashed it with your cane because your precious Seahawks lost, we wouldn't need a new set now, would we? Isn't there a manual?
Yes, but unfortunately Stephen Hawking's not here to explain it to us.
Man, I thought the winds had eased up out there.
They have.
Then what happened to your umbrella?
One of my listeners recognized me on the street. He pulled it backwards through a chain-link fence. You would not believe the hostility I've encountered. Even at the Cafe Nervosa, my sanctuary. I thought they were trying out a new cappuccino maker. I turned and saw three tables hissing at me.
Don't answer that, Daphne.
I can't abide the sound of a ringing phone.
No, it's just going to be another crank complaining about Frasier. They've been calling here all day.
Oh, no, they've got my home number now. Oh.
Yes, but just because the phone rings doesn't mean we have to answer it. Even though it could be Frederick calling to say he loves you, or Grammy Moon calling to say her hit's gone out again. Still, we can't be slaves to a little ringing bell. Just because it's going ring, ring, ring. Or in the case of a British telephone, ring, 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 ring.
Oh, just answer it, for God's sake.
Thank you. Career residence? Oh, no, I'm afraid he can't come to the phone. May I take a message? Oh, nice language, that. I hope you don't eat with that mouth.
Daphne, excuse me. Now, see here, how dare you speak to a lady that way? Yes, well, that's no excuse, ma'am. Only a coward makes threats over the phone. I dare you to come here and say that to my face. Never you mind where I live.
Is anyone expecting visitors? Well, I suggest we all remain very, very quiet.
I suddenly have this image of angry villagers wielding torches and pitchforks.
Frasier, open up, it's Roz!
Oh, dear, it's worse than I thought.
Roz, what are you doing out on this ungodly night?
I tried calling, but your line is busy.
Hey, Roz!
Hey, Martin. How are you doing?
Good.
Is that a new TV?
Yeah.
That's great. Did you get it hooked up yet?
No, I decided I'd let Niles take a crack at it first.
God, Martin, you're awful. Listen, Frasier, after you left, the station manager stopped by. He's taking a lot of heat from the sponsors, and he says if you cannot smooth this over, he may have to suspend you.
Suspend me? Well, what's he going to put in my time slot?
He'd have to run the best of Crane.
What'll I do on the second day?
How I'm ever going to smooth this over. The entire city is out to lynch me.
Tell me about it. This guy I met at the gym canceled on me when he found out I worked for you. You're even alienating my boyfriends.
Oh, well, we can't afford to lose a demographic as large as that.
Look, what we need here is a little damage control. Now, it's still not too late for you to call the people at St. Bart's Hospital and tell them you'll speak at their fundraiser.
The way they treated me last year?
It's a big event. There'll be lots of media there. This is the perfect chance for you to redeem yourself.
Listen to Roz.
Okay, just stay out of this.
Well, if you take my advice...
Look, I did take your advice. I apologize.
Yeah, oh, so sincerely.
What is the big deal? You'll make a few jokes, a few self-deprecating remarks. You'll be helping sick people and showing everyone you know how to laugh at yourself.
I think it's a brilliant suggestion.
My God, Niles, did you just compliment me?
Indeed I did. You're very savvy, Roz. You remind me of one of those cleverly amoral PR flacks who sell their services to industries that pollute.
You really think it's a good idea, Niles?
Well, worked for Nancy Reagan. After her first year in the White House, she was widely criticized for her lavish spending. She responded by appearing at a satirical dinner, wearing thrift store clothes, and performing secondhand Rose.
And that made people like her again?
Yes, briefly.
Oh, what the hell? Tell them I'll MC. You know, better yet, tell them I'll take a whole table at the banquet.
I already did. You owe those nuns $800.
800?
Don't mess with them.
Put myself in such a precarious position. I've got to choose my material very carefully.
Oh, I know some good jokes.
No, Niles, you don't.
You know, if it's jokes you need, feel free to use some of mine.
Oh, yes. I'm sure the nuns would just love that. Well, I'm at it, I'll call Bulldog and ask him for a couple of limericks from his Nantucket series. Well, I'll just call Father Mike. I'm sure he knows a couple of inoffensive jokes. Hello. Yes, well, you know what? I don't care how you feel. I want to use the phone right now. Daphne, your grandmother's hip is out again. No, I'm just...
I do hope you'll have some humorous stories for us. Though, of course, nothing too racy or risque.
Oh, no, no, of course not. I wouldn't dream of it.
Good. Last year, Kathy Lee Gifford told a most unfortunate story involving newlyweds and a ski lift.
Hello, all.
Hey, Father.
Thank you for coming out for such a good cause.
Hey, I'd support this cause anytime. St. Boris is where I had my hip surgery. They treated me good.
I just saw Fraser. I must say, he seems a bit nervous.
Well, he ought to be. There's a lot riding on this performance tonight.
Well, thank goodness he's got that sweet old nun there to comfort him.
She's not so sweet. That's Sister Joselia, the scrubbing nun, better known as the Terror of Ward 3.
You still remember her?
Yeah, you know that nightmare where I wake up screaming, not the sponge, not the sponge. That's her.
You know, when I was a girl, I considered being a nun.
Really? What changed your mind?
I didn't want to work weekends.
Hey, where'd Maris go?
Well, I believe Mrs. Crane is over there.
Where? Oh, bless her busy little heart. She's cornered Lydia Beaumont, head of the museum board. Maris has been angling to get on that board for years.
Yeah, it looks like Lydia's getting away.
Oh, yes, the old fresh-in-the-drink ploy. Poor Lydia has no idea with whom she's dealing. That's right, Maris. Chug that sherry. On with the chase. Yes. There she goes. She's gaining. She's gaining. She's coming around the ice sculpture. It's Mrs. Beaumont and Maris. Mrs. Beaumont and Maris. And yes, they meet again. I fully expect they'll be board mates before they clear away the desserts. Evening, everyone.
Hey, son.
Dr. Crane, we were just saying how handsome and confident you look.
Really? Absolutely. Forehead.
Did you memorize those jokes I gave you?
Yes, yes. They're the reason I look so handsome and confident.
Shouldn't they have started this thing by now?
Oh, well, we're waiting for Bishop Kalaji. He's supposed to introduce me.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be here any minute. Break a leg, Fraser.
Now, listen, I've done a few bowling banquets in my time. The thing to remember is keep smiling and look like you're having a good time.
Right.
Yeah, and if a joke bombs, don't pay any attention to it. Do what Johnny Carson used to do. Just make a joke about how bad it is. Bravo! Oh, I miss that guy.
Your dad's right, Fraser. Just go up there and be confident.
Yes, well, I'll do that just as soon as I find a men's room.
Oh, you'll be fine. You just got a few butterflies in your stomach.
Not for long, I don't. I'll be right back.
Good evening. I'm Father Mike Mancuso, and I've just been asked to make a very sad announcement. As you know, every year our guest speaker has been introduced by Bishop Kalaji, our chairman, and host of the popular Sunday morning cable TV show Pancakes and Parables. However, we've just been informed that the bishop has suffered a terrible accident. It seems that he was out fishing this afternoon when his boat was hit by a storm and capsized. At the moment, he remains missing. However, I will keep you abreast of any further developments.
Why does everything happen to Fraser?
Devastated as we all are, we know how much this evening means to the bishop and how he delights in entertaining us each year with his biblical hand shadows. We also know that he would be the first to insist that we proceed without him. So, I'm going to step in and introduce this year's speaker. Won't you extend a cordial and gracious welcome to my friend and colleague, Dr. Fraser Crane.
Dr. Crane? Dr. Crane? Ah.
Thank you, Father Mike. Thank you very much. I can't tell you what an honor it is to be here this evening. I expected the bishop to introduce me, but I'm sure he'll drift in eventually. You know, it's a real comfort to see so many priests out there in the audience. These days, I don't dare speak in public without someone standing by who can perform the last rites. Whoa! Very religious crowd, I see. I can tell because of the vow of silence. Hope you got some holy water standing by there, Father. I'm dying here. And speaking of water, that reminds me of a little story. A rabbi, a minister, and a priest are all sitting at the bar
on the Titanic.
Dr. Crane, the bishop.
Oh, well, I heard the story with a priest, but what the heck? A bishop's even funnier, isn't it? Thank you, sister. Okay, then, a rabbi, a minister, and a bishop are all sitting at the bar when the purser rushes in to give them the horrible news.
Fraser, the bishop is lost at sea.
Hey, look, are you telling his story or am I?
But Fraser...
Hey, come on, lady, I work alone, all right? Hey, thank you. All right, anyway. So the purser rushes in to give them the horrible news about the boat. So the rabbi gets up and says, my God, my people will need me. The minister is about to leave when the priest says, sorry, the bishop... says, oh, relax, have another drink. I'm sure that the rabbi can handle it. And the minister says, my God, man, how can you abandon your flock when we've just hit an iceberg? And the bishop says, an iceberg? I thought I said we hit a Weisberg. Hello? Is this thing on? Bamo!
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs.
Oh, my.
And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?